Welcome to another edition of Quest Point in the Mix. It is really an honor today to have the opportunity to talk with someone who is really out there making a difference in the world, and that's Danielle Weiss. Danielle is the program director for Planetera, and Planetera is a worldwide organization that was founded and established with Gap Adventures, and Gap Adventures is the world's largest and leading adventure travel company. Danielle, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Hi, Richard.
Well, listen, I'm just really so thrilled to have the opportunity to talk with you today, and I guess probably the question that many people will have is, how do you get a great job like you've got? I mean, to be in adventure travel, how did this happen for you?
Yeah. I actually started with Latin America through my university. I did a 1-year study abroad program in Ecuador.
Oh, okay.
And so really that year completely changed my life and just opened my eyes to a whole new world and learning Spanish and just all these people that I could now communicate with. And I went home, graduated, and within a week I was straight back on a plane to South America, and I spent the next year volunteering with local nonprofits and working with mountain and Amazon communities. I taught English for a while, and then I got robbed. So that's when I realized I needed a real job. And at that point, I saw a sign for Gap Adventures that said, "Are you a great adventure person? Do you love to travel?" So I tore it down, got an interview, and within 4 days, I was on the road. So that's pretty much how it happened for me.
Now, when you started there, or when you had that first year there abroad, did you speak Spanish before you went there, or how did that?
Yeah, well, because I'd already spent about 3 years living in Latin America, so yeah, I definitely did speak it, which was very necessary. I was leading trips throughout Ecuador, Peru, and Bolivia, and you definitely needed the language to be able to do that.
Excellent, excellent. So tell me, now I understand that you were kind of keeping it a little bit on the hush-hush, that you were one of, if not this idea of Planetera was yours, that you were the founder of this concept. Talk to me about that, and don't be shy about it, please.
Okay, well, like I said, I started with Gap as a tour leader, finished my contract, and I don't know, maybe like 6 months later, they offered me a position in the head office to work in the operations department. So I eventually got up here to Toronto and worked in operations, and then I applied for the first full-time sustainable tourism coordinator position. Mm-hmm. And the idea actually came from Bruce, who's our CEO, and he approached me and said that, we're really doing really well as a company and we should really start looking at ways that we can give back to the people and places that we visit on our tours. And out of that, we developed the Planetera Foundation. So it was really Bruce's idea and big push coming from him, but I was the one who made it happen. And so that was in 2003, and I was based in Toronto up until about a year ago, and we now have a new wonderful director named Richard Edwards, and he's based here in Toronto, and I've since moved to Peru. So I've spent the last year working as the project manager there.
So you're the person on the ground, the eyes and ears
yeah.
of the company on the ground. Okay.
Yeah, which I think is a much better fit for me. I love it. Like, working with the communities is, I think I really have the best job in the world right now.
Well, talk to me a little bit, if you would, about the role of Planetera as it relates to Gap Adventures. What's the difference there, or is there some synergy there? How does that?
Yeah. Okay. Well, so Planetera was developed by Gap Adventures, and really, it's the nonprofit charitable side of our company. So Right now we have about 30 projects worldwide that we support. GAP pays all the administration costs and matches each donation that we receive dollar for dollar. So what my job basically is to communicate with the projects and the project managers, community leaders, find out what they need and how work with them to find out how we can best support them. And we also give our travelers an opportunity to visit the projects on tour. So that's how they get that experience of interaction, and they can really see firsthand what we're doing on the ground.
That program, that's the Volunteers program?
They can visit our projects as part of the tour if they have maybe, I don't know, an hour or a day in an area where there's no activity scheduled, and they can just go there voluntarily. But we also have the Volunteer program where we have right now 19 tours where you spend between, the majority of them are 3 to 5 days volunteering at one of our projects, and then after that we've got like a GAP itinerary attached to that. So you get a little bit of both.
Oh.
Of the both worlds, volunteering and then doing some exciting adventure travel.
Exciting, exciting. Well, tell me about the, if you would, the program that you are working on, the weaving project there in Peru, and then if you don't mind, you're involved in, you said 19 or 20 other projects around the world and places, exotic places like Zambia, India, the Galapagos, Machu Picchu,
mm-hmm.
Kenya. If you need any help on these projects, let me know. But
yeah, definitely. You can carry my bags.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess in the past year, there's been three main projects I've been working on between Ecuador and Peru.
Mm-hmm.
One is we raised $150,000 to purchase a home for children that come from very poor families in Cusco. So we just purchased that house, and the kids moved in on October 1st.
Oh, well.
We have another one, which is a children's sea bus project in the Galapagos. So we've just partnered with the Galapagos Guides Association, and we are working to raise money to purchase a boat so that we can give the children from the islands an opportunity to see what all the hundreds of thousands of tourists go to Galapagos to see.
Wow.
And so I've been working on that. And then the main one is the Women's Weaving Project in the Kakakoyo community just outside of Cusco. And we started working with that community in 2005 with the men, actually. We offered these training sessions where we invited people from a number of different communities to participate so that they could begin to work with us as porters and cooks on the Inca Trail.
Oh, I see.
And so we actually opened it up to everybody, but only the men showed up. So we eventually have, I think now we have about 400 porters from 8 to 9 communities.
Wow.
Working with us in that area. But the women then saw how we were working with the men, and they approached us about developing this women's weaving project. So they had already received training on how to dye the wool using natural plants and flowers. And so we help them get organized, and now we have on a daily basis groups, GAP groups, that are going through the Sacred Valley, stop at the community, meet the women, learn about all the different stages of the weaving process. Then they can actually purchase the weavings directly from the women who make them. So we're really giving them the skills that they need to be independent and self-sufficient. So now they have better education for their children, better health care. And they're proud. I mean, they're proud of the fact that they can now contribute to the well-being of their family and not just depending on their husbands to bring in the money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been working with the women. We've been looking at ways to improve the quality and the items that they're making. So we just raised $4,000 to purchase 10 looms. And so they're now learning how to weave on the looms, a big difference compared to how they used to weave, where they had the back strap.
Wow.
And we're always complaining about back pain. So that's one thing we did this year. We also developed a new volunteer program in the community where we have volunteers will be coming in to build stoves. And I don't know, that might not sound that exciting, but it's actually, I think, an incredible project where within just 2 days you can completely improve the life of one family. and the living conditions and the health.
You know, you had talked about that a little bit before when we chatted, the project with the stoves and and then the weaving project connected with that. You know, really, I guess all of these issues going to the issue of sustainability and creating, you know, communities that can sustain themselves. And so that stove project, you said it may sound like it's not a big thing, but it is a big thing. Talk about that a little bit, because I kind of get it, I think.
Okay. Well, it's basically, if you went into any house in that community, you would see the women cooking over an open fire, inhaling thick black smoke. The walls are just charcoal black. And there's really no ventilation, so the children and the women and their husbands are all living in this really smoky, dark place. So basically what we did was we had a field trip. So we took 20 people from the community out to another village nearby where they have these new fantastic stoves that you can build out of just adobe and local materials that they have there, and with a chimney so that the smoke goes up and out of the house. And they loved it. They were completely amazed. They also saw these solar showers, and these people have never had a shower in their life. They are used to just heating water over the fire and splashing it on themselves. So, we're starting with the stoves, and who knows, maybe eventually we'll get to the showers. But we brought in a maestro, someone to teach the men in the community how to actually build these stoves. So now we have 4 skilled laborers who know how to make the stoves. So when we have our new volunteer tour starting in January 2010 to the community, we'll have our groups of volunteers partner with one of the local craftsmen, and they'll be able to build a stove for one family.
That's fantastic. I mean, that's really what sustainability and you know, eco travel is all about. I was really doing some positive good in the community. So even though you say you're nonprofit, you're actually helping to benefit and profit that community to create something positive for themselves, which I think is terrific.
Yeah, definitely.
How does someone get involved with these programs if they wanted to get involved with them? What would they do?
Yeah, well, they could either go to the Gap Adventures website or the Planetara website, and they could just check out our volunteer tours.
Okay. You know, I know that we had touched on this, and I kind of wanted to go there again and just get a sense of this. You know, you've lived down there now for 10 years, is it 9 years?
I was down there in 1997 to 2000. Yeah, I was in Toronto for 7 years, but I was back and forth. So, yeah, it's been over the past, 12 years back and forth.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, what's it been like there to live there, though, for long periods of time? I mean, do you miss your family, your friends? And
yeah, I do, actually. It's always hard to leave them, especially my family, but there's great people everywhere you go. So now I feel like I have family in Peru that's almost just like my real family, and new friends. So I'm kind of living in two worlds now.
You look kind of like Indiana Jones there, huh? Or kind of popping in when you need to and going off to the next adventure, I suspect.
There's pros and cons to being transient, living a transient lifestyle, but I don't know, I still love it.
What's good about it, and what's challenging sometimes?
I love working with the communities. I really, really, it's so inspiring to see these people who you from the outside you may see them as having nothing, but they're really the ones that give you the most, and it's really a joy to work with them every day, and I don't know, it's great. I love everything. I love everything about Latin America. I really do. I love the culture and the music and the language and the food and the mountains and the jungle and then when I come home, I have all my lifelong friends and family here and.
In Toronto. So, that's you were born in Toronto.
Yeah, in Toronto. Definitely.
Okay.
So
which is also a fantastic. It's also a fantastic city. My gosh.
It is, and I think after the 7 years I was here, it was just. day to day, but now that I've been away for a year and I'm back in Toronto actually right now for a couple of months, I'm really appreciating all that I have in Toronto as well. So, yeah.
Hey, what do you say to people who remark, you know, obviously for someone to have the opportunity to take these exotic adventure trips to Latin America or to Asia or India or Africa or to the continent of Africa, that you know, want to get involved in volunteering and helping and making a contribution. What do you say to people who say, you know, we've got problems right here in Canada or in Toronto, or we've got problems right here in the United States? You know, well, shouldn't you be helping people here? What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, we are an international adventure travel company, so it makes sense for us to develop the volunteer tourism, the places that we travel, but that definitely doesn't mean that you can't volunteer in soup kitchens or old age homes in your own community. So, I just think that by volunteering when you travel, we're giving people the opportunity to have meaningful cross-cultural experiences, and you know, and we hope that they take with them that experience and then, you know, continue to volunteer in your own community. I think when you travel, it really, instead of just following the gringo trail, is what we call it in Latin America,
okay,
the touristy route, you really get to interact with the people and see the day-to-day lives. And one thing I think that you should be conscious of is, you know, maybe you can't change the world in, you know, 3 to 5 days or however long you're volunteering, but it just might change your world.
Oh, exciting. What is kind of the most interesting area for you? You'd mentioned some pretty exotic places, Machu Picchu, you know, Lima. You know, when we talked before, is there a city or an area within the scope of places that you go to on a routine basis that you tend to like more? And if so, what is it about that, and why is that?
I mean, Cusco is my base, and that's really like my second home.
What's it like there?
What's it like?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's really a mecca for tourism. It's kind of the gateway, the town where everybody goes before they go to Machu Picchu.
Okay.
So there's the main plaza, and there's international restaurants, and there's bars and internet cafes, and it's, I mean, pretty much anything that you want you could get there. So there's that part of Cusco, which for me, living there can be a little overwhelming at times because it's too much. So you can really, like, just within a few blocks, you can really get into the heart of what Cusco really is and see how the local people live and go to the local markets. And then also just outside of Cusco, there's plenty of, like, amazing hiking you can do and rafting and lots of Inca sites. So there's lots to do.
Incredible. So that's one of your favorite areas.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Cusco
okay.
is my home, my other home. So, and then I don't know. I lived for a few years in Ecuador as well, and I love Ecuador. And I don't know.
Okay.
I was in Nepal recently. I fell in love with Nepal. So.
Yeah, I've been there as well. That's
places.
Yeah.
So you know.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. It seems as though there's some of the physical features of the people in Nepal and the Peruvian people, it seems oddly similar, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the reason why I fell in love with Nepal was because it reminded me so much of Peru. Just, I mean, it's very different in a lot of ways, but
sure.
I just like the mountain communities and just it's beautiful.
So what's next for you? What's next for Gap Adventures, for Planetera? And ecotourism or sustainable travel. I know you were in the Bay Area recently for the Eco Innovators series.
Okay, that's a big question. Well, for me personally, I guess I'm in Toronto now, and I head back to Peru starting in January. And I think some of the main things I'll be working on are working more closely with our guides and tour leaders, so they. Just to get their feedback about our projects, what's happening, how we can make them better, and work with them to effectively communicate to GAP travelers exactly what we're doing and how travelers can give back. I'm also going to be looking at developing new sexy volunteer tours throughout Latin America,
okay.
Which I'm excited about. For GAP and Planetera, I think we're really working at taking it to the next level and really focusing on how we can become a leader in responsible tourism worldwide. And our director, Richard, he's working on some big partnerships to help bring us forward and get some good funding and backing behind us so we can really get a lot more done on the ground. And the conference in San Francisco, that was a group of tour operators and people from other area media and I think all from the Bay Area, and we were talking about how community-based tourism can really be used as a tool, a development tool, to bring communities out of poverty. And we were talking about how we can better partner with international development agencies and with UNESCO, and to really show that, you know, tour operators are a huge player in this, and that we should kind of bring us.
Together?
Together, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's the word, together.
That's the word, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it was the first meeting of many I think we'll be having, but it was definitely a good start.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just really, pleased, and I'm appreciative of the fact that you were able to schedule some time to share with me and to share with our listeners the things that you've done and the work that you're doing. It really is, you know, good work and positive work, and really goes to the heart of, you know, what sustainability is all about. Are there any thoughts or suggestions that you might be able to impart to people or to anyone who would like to pursue this as a career or has an interest in this kind of work? What do they do? How do they get involved?
Just here within GAP in our head office, I mean, we kind of have, three types of people. We have the ones that were like the tour leaders or the backpackers, and they just went out there and traveled, so they gained all this kind of travel experience just by doing it.
Okay.
Then you have the people that actually studied travel and tourism and came through us that way. And then, I mean, there's all the other departments like the marketing and the accounting, and that's, you know, they're good in their own fields.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think the best way to get involved is just go travel.
Yes. And as you say that, you're toying with me now, because I feel like just leaving right now. Well, listen, again, I do appreciate your time and your thoughts, and you know, just keep up the good work, you know, with GAP Adventures and Planetera, because it really is making a difference out there. You can see it in the eyes of the, you know, some of the photos and the residents and the citizens of the places that you travel. You can see what it's doing. I've looked at some of the videos and some of the photos, and you can see the pride and the joy that they have, and the development that they're going through, and the work that people are bringing to them. So, you know, that's you're to be commended for that. So,
yeah, thanks. Well, it's easy to do when you love your job. So, and you're doing a great job too.
Well, thank
you.
I
mean, it's people like you that put the word out there. So it's great what you're doing too.
All right. Yeah, that's
really
good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, again, thanks for coming and listening and sharing your story with us, and for being on In the Mix.